We read a word of God before we pray from the prophet Isaiah 51, perhaps the first verses. Here God speaks, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know and love righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Thanks be to our God for these precious words of promise. We know and believe that every word our God has spoken will be fulfilled. And we see that much of what he has spoken has already been fulfilled. Other things are still to come, but we are confident and full of faith that everything will be fulfilled. And for this, we are so glad and so grateful that we can look to him again this evening and also listen to him, because we know that the teaching comes from him. He teaches his people. Can we say that or not? He does it to this day, and for that we are glad and grateful. He will also give us tonight what he has foreseen for us, and we want to thank him for that now. Let us stand up for this. Heavenly Father, we thank you together this evening for your precious and holy word. You have called out to us, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, faithful God, to whom should we wait, to whom should we turn our eyes, if not to you alone? To whom should we listen, if not to your word, Lord, which you have prepared for us, for this time, for this hour, for these moments, Lord? We are so glad and so grateful, Lord, that we were allowed to receive your word, not by merit, but by grace you gave it to us. We thank you for this. We worship you, Lord, and ask you, O faithful God, to be with us this evening, Lord. This is our fervent desire, Lord. This is our prayer. This is our petition. Lord, you know what we have come for. It is not out of habit, Lord. No, faithful God, grant grace that we may receive what you will speak to us, O Lord, through your precious and holy word. We worship you and praise your marvelous and glorious name of Jesus. Receive the honor, the praise from all our hearts and mouths is my prayer. And I ask you, Lord, be with my brother, Lord. Give him your grace and your strength tonight, Lord. Let your word speak mightily to us. And if it is so sharp, Lord, like a two-edged sword, but may it penetrate and may it cut off, Lord, that is not of you. We worship you and praise your name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. We are thankful that we can be under the sound of His Word, that we can talk to God and know that He is talking to us, and that we not only hear His Word, but believe it with all our hearts. Brother Branham has emphasized the scripture from John 5, 24 probably. Many times, there it says, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." And Brother Branham said, in the time of Jesus, many heard his word with these ears. But that's not what it means. But really, in their heart, not just hear it acoustically, but hear it from the heart, take it in and believe it. I have greetings to convey, and he said on the phone what has already been emphasized, they will all be taught by God. He called into the phone and said, Brother Frank, I've been traveling around, and I have to tell you, I've been able to experience and witness that all of God's children are taught by God. So we can rejoice together. You know, if we want to believe what the Baptist Church teaches, we can go there. And if we want to believe what everyone else teaches, we can go there too. But if we want to and can believe that teaching has come from God, then we must sit under the sound of this divine teaching and not let our thoughts drift back, but immerse ourselves in what God has to say to us at this time. It makes no sense to say, I believe the end-time message and what God has spoken, and then keep coming up with all the old arguments that have nothing to do with the message. No, you have to clear up the old before you can receive the new. When I hold something in my hands, a pair of glasses, and the thought came to me as I was sitting there, I can't see with or without glasses. But if I want better ones, I have to take off the ones that no longer fit me and have a new pair prescribed, and then I will see well again. You have to get rid of one to be able to accept the other. You can't hold two things in your hands at the same time, because then it can happen that you end up with nothing at all. Well, we are so grateful for what God does and are saddened by what the enemy does. But my brother-in-law comforts me whenever God leads him to do so. And at the moment, there is no one who strengthens and builds me up inside like him. And then we speak in English, and you know, the English language is a blessed language. And when he shouts into the phone, Satan is a liar, and God is true, it just sounds like heavenly music to me. And it's true. We can say that with all our heart. God is true. What He has said is true. And what Satan says has never been true. He has sometimes dealt with half-truths. That is true. But never with whole truths. And the devil turns half a truth on its head and turns it into a whole lie. And what did Brother Branham say? He said that the worst lie is when you take 99% truth and then add 1% lie and turn it into a story. And this then becomes a very bad thing. But we are here today not to talk about what the enemy is doing. It's going to get worse anyway. We all have to be prepared for that, especially me. But God will not remain silent. He will speak and work. We have said it here, and we believe it, that God's words and God's deeds always coincide. And if we look at the course of history, His people Israel also had to walk difficult paths, the most difficult paths that a nation has traveled were traveled by the people of Israel. And only because God had something in mind for them. The hardest path was the path of all the prophets. Not the priests, not the Levites. Everything was always fine with them. But the prophets had to walk difficult paths. The Lord doesn't say, "Where is there a priest you wouldn't have persecuted, or a Levite you wouldn't have stoned?" He doesn't say that. He says, "Where is a prophet whom you would not have persecuted, and a man sent from God whom you would not have stoned?" No one stoned the priests. They were respected among the people, and that was the end of the matter for them. But the prophets, the men of God, who spoke and worked by the commission of the Lord, everything came crashing down on them to such an extent. Well, we can read it in the Holy Scriptures that the Lord had to say, "Of the righteous blood of Abel, all the blood of the saints was shed, even unto the blood of Zacharias, who was murdered before the altar of burnt offering in the temple." By the unbelievers? No. Let's keep it to ourselves. Let's not tell anyone. Many things have happened in the house of God, and that by the people of God, who came under false inspiration. Men of God, who are under the true inspiration of the Spirit of God, will always contribute to the edification of the church. There is no ministry that God sends into the church to destroy. There is no such thing. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry in the church. God builds up. Wherever the Lord can speak, wherever He can work, He will be faithful to His word. He said, "I will build my church." And who He uses, He will be used to help build His church. That is yes and amen. That is God's holy word. I noticed here that the Lord is not speaking in general terms, but very purposefully. He says here in verse 3, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places." not for you people, mine or others, but for her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, not the wilderness of anyone, a church or a denomination or anyone else, but her wilderness like Eden. He is concerned about nothing other than what is contained as the main concern in God's entire plan of salvation. And in the Old Testament, it was his natural covenant people. And in the New Testament, it is the church. And just as the people of Israel became a wilderness, they have always remained God's people. God cannot deny himself. He is called the God of Israel over 6,000 times. How can he deny that? He has said it himself. And he is and remains the God of Israel. And here he says that he will build up his ruins and turn his wilderness into a paradise and her desert like the garden of the Lord. It is always about his work, not about what people do, but about what he wants to do. And then he says, hearken unto me, my people, not a people, my people. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. Not a nation. God is a personal God. We are his children, sons and daughters, his people, his church. He talks to us. He speaks to us personally. Our waste places are his waste places. Our desert is his desert. Our trouble is his trouble. After all, we are in his hands. We no longer belong to ourselves. He has bought us. We belong to him. We are his property. Is that true or not? And that's why it's about him. It's about what he wants to do. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. All those who want to be taught by God must listen to his voice and receive the teaching from his mouth. And as I have sometimes said, spiritual food is like earthly food. Which of you would like your food to be chewed for you? Nobody wants that. It would make us sick. Everyone wants to sit down and eat what has been put on the table. If someone wanted to chew what I should eat, it would make me sick. I would say, keep it to yourself. And it's the same in the spiritual. How many pre-chew and then give it to people? Why does God speak through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 28? All tables are full of vomit and filthiness. What was it? The people have thrown up. God does not want that. God wants his word to go out to us pure and holy. And not one brother will teach the other, but they will all be taught by God. And only in this way we will come to the unity of faith and knowledge in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you want to give me back what you have eaten, it won't work. We must each stand before the Lord individually and come before His face together and experience Him as He has said. Hearken unto me, my people, not a people, my people, and give ear unto me, not just anyone, but me, ye, my nation, for teaching shall proceed from me. I am convinced, as we have heard often enough, that the word came through the prophets, and they did not mix it with their own thoughts and then reproduce it, but God spoke directly through them, and we are interested in nothing other than the word that has freshly gone forth from the throne and has reached us. We don't need anyone else to interpret it for us, because in the divine teaching there is already clarity for us. The revealed word already contains what we need, because the word revelation already means that it has been revealed, and we no longer need anyone to reveal a revelation. Revelation is already revelation. Nobody needs to visit someone and say, "Yes, but you don't understand this revelation." Perhaps the person concerned does not understand it. It is up to God, to whom He opens the understanding for the Scripture, whose heart is opened and whose heart is hardened. That too is in the hands of God. The Lord has said, "Harden not your hearts when I speak to you." And the same applies now. And then it says, "And I will make my justice for a light of the people." Not our justice, but His justice. Everything comes from Him and leads back to Him. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. Do you notice how the first and second coming of the Lord are again mentioned together in the Holy Scriptures? Here it says, "The heavens shall vanish, and people will die." And as it says here, "The earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die like flies. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." Whose righteousness? His. His righteousness, His salvation, His grace. Everything we have has been granted to us by Him. And if anyone wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. Let him not think by himself, "All right, I have it." God has you. God has sought you. He found you and drawn you to Himself out of pure love, and has called you by your name so that you may be His. Hearken unto me, ye that know and love righteousness. And before He says, "My righteousness shall not be abolished," this is about the righteousness of God. And to those who have been justified by God through Jesus Christ, verse 7 applies to them. Hearken unto me, ye that know and love righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law. What marvelous words that are called out to us here. And let us remember one thing. It is the Lord who is speaking to us today. And I sometimes ask myself the question, how would we feel if we could see the Lord before us and hear His words? What would be going on in our hearts? How would we believe every word? What would happen in us if we really saw our Lord before us and heard His voice? It would burn within us. That would be no expression at all. We would be done. We would be overwhelmed to recognize the grace that He is speaking to us. And beloved, the purpose of proclaiming the Word of God is that the Spirit of God makes the Word so alive and so fresh for you and me in that moment that we hear and know it anew. God is present to speak to us. All others will not listen to it. They will go away in their own righteousness. Hearken unto me, ye that know and love righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. And then it is said, what will happen? May God write in our hearts that we do not belong to ourselves, but to Him, because He has bought us. We don't just want to be a church. We want to be His church. We don't just want to hear. We want to hear Him. Not to hear an interpretation, but to hear the clear words of revelation from our God. And when God gives clarity, there is no need for people to give more clarity than God has given. Do you know what then comes through? This may not quite fit here, but how often do you hear it in the vernacular? All clarity removed. Yes, when people talk to each other, then they turn it around. Instead of saying all ambiguities removed, they say all clarities removed. Where people talk, clarity is removed. Where God speaks, ambiguities are clarified. And through divine clarification, through revelation, clarity comes to your heart and mine. Everything else, from now on, we can leave behind us and look ahead in faith, because God makes His claim on His people. We are convinced of this from the bottom of our hearts. Perhaps the word fits here that I read from 2 Thessalonians 1 just now. 2 Thessalonians 1. Here it says in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace. People on whom God's grace has come, on them also is the peace of God. Peace on earth in people with whom he is pleased. Some translations simply say, peace on earth and favor with men. But in this translation and in the original text, peace on earth, in the people of God's well-pleasing, in the people who have found peace with God, people who have been pardoned by God. And it was to them that Paul wrote this greeting, grace and peace be with you. With whom? With those who have been pardoned by God and have found peace with God. The word of God is addressed to them. Only they will receive it. Everyone else is already there where others still want to go. If only that were the case, then we would be glad. In verse 3 it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the brotherly love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Not only in some, but in each and every one of you. Whoever is pardoned by God, whoever has found peace with God, whoever belongs to his people, whoever listens to his voice and believes from the heart, God's Spirit and God's Word and blood must be at work in him until all that God has purposed to do has come about. Here it says, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Where can faith grow? The more powerful the word that God speaks to us, the more powerful the faith that can be brought about in your heart and mine by the Spirit under the preaching. In the days of the Reformation, when only a little of the Word of God was proclaimed, faith was corresponding. At all times, faith was according to the word that was preached, because faith cometh by hearing. At no time could people go beyond this. But we cannot remain below our level, but must also be brought up to date in faith. Just as we have been brought up to date by God through preaching. We must believe this. It will not help us if the word we hear cannot be mixed with faith. And that already under the preaching. It goes on to say, and the brotherly love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now, let's take a look at ourselves and ask whether this is true. What is written here is true. But is what is written also true in your life and mine? Has it come true in us? After all, there is another passage in the Bible that is also fulfilled in people, namely in believers. And the love of many shall wax cold, and they shall deliver you up to councils, and you shall be brought before rulers, and so forth. And if love is to grow cold, then it must have existed once. If it is to grow cold, it must once have been hot. Then the fire of God must have burned. Where the furnace has not burned, it cannot go out. So there are two groups. Of the one group it says, the love of many shall wax cold. Of the other, that this divine love, which manifests itself as brotherly love, may abound in all of you. At some point, there is a dividing line. From that point on, it decreases in some and increases in others. And the divide will widen and widen until both have reached their peak. And make no mistake, we have said it over and again, that we are now in a prophetic age, in the time of the absolute end, and the things prophesied for the end times must be fulfilled in every way. To those who have been pardoned by God, to those who have found peace with God, whose faith is growing strongly, in them also brotherly love increases in every one of them, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. These things will be put to the test. Theory is one thing, but then comes the test. And it says here, of this test, which we all have to go through, it says, in patience and faith, in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Some endure, and others watch. But those who have been called by God, and they are not only called, but chosen, they will hear, believe, and experience the word that is ordained for the elect. And if this includes persecution, suffering, and whatever else it may be, then we must not complain, but be grateful that we can go through it all. You know, I'm only human, and sometimes I could really sing lamentation songs instead of psalms. But the Holy Scriptures tell us clearly, give thanks to God in every situation for everything. For the good, we can all give thanks, rub our hands together, and things will be all right. But God tests us to see what is more valuable to us. And I tell you now, what God has prepared for us is much more than what people can inflict on us. And the temporary tribulation cannot be compared with the matchless glory of God, even for a moment. Why not? Because we are not focusing on the visible, but on the invisible. Here it says so wonderfully, of your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. If I had nothing to do with the kingdom of God, if my person could be detached from the revealed word for this time, then no one would care about me. Then I could walk around unharmed. If the prophets could have been detached from the word of God, they would have been fine, but then they would have no longer have been prophets. What good is it if we are well? And I have said this several times. Better to die with God than to live without Him. And the same is true of the divine truths of His Word. If we are deprived of what God has given us, which is priceless and basically means everything to us, what is left for us to enjoy? Nothing at all. And that is why faithfulness and steadfastness are necessary in all persecutions and trials that come upon us. And it even says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Unseres Herrn oder dem Evangelium unseres Herrn Jesus kein Gehör geschenkt haben.
The day is coming, and we know that both are coming. As the prophet Isaiah said, the morning is coming and also the night. Reward is coming and vengeance is coming. Both come upon everyone what God has intended for them. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, then judgment will come on all those who have been left behind. And let us make no mistake, the elect will never persecute the elect. That is impossible. If Cain and Abel had been of the same seed, everything would have been fine. No, we don't want to mix these things up, but see them as God sees them and also believe it. Here is a profound teaching. It continues in verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Both will happen. Some will receive vengeance because they did not believe. So all men have not faith. That's how it is written. But it is not only important that we believe something, but that we believe as the scripture says, that we believe the Lord. The Bible says in James, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. Faith alone, if it is such as you have yourself, is of no use to anyone. It is the faith that God works in our hearts through the preaching of His Word by the Spirit that counts. On that day, the Lord will be admired by all His own. Beloved, the hour will come, and we will stand amazed, adoring before our Lord. We will be lost for words when we see our Lord and Savior with our own eyes. Here it says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. And the answer is, I have glorified you and will glorify you again. When he comes again to be glorified among those who have believed from the heart, he will find admiration. We will be amazed, no longer knowing what to say. What a glorious day that will be. For the others, judgment will come when the Lord reveals himself in fire, in wrath, but upon his own, he will not come with a destructive fire. He will not come with wrath. He has endured wrath for all those whom he pardons, who have found peace with God. But those who reject this gospel and build on self-righteousness, they will not be able to stand their ground before God. Those who believe from the heart and lean on the Lord alone, for them he comes to be admired in all his saints. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. He has done everything for everyone, and for that we are grateful. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, I want to be there. I want to be there when he comes again to be glorified among all his own. He bore the reproach. He was spit at, mocked, ridiculed, beaten, martyred. To mock him, they put a crown of thorns on his head and say to him, you are a king, so we can crown you now. What did our Lord have to endure? Out of love for you and out of love for me. In the beginning, when the curse was pronounced, the Lord God said, the ground shall bear thorns and thistles. The Lord took this upon himself, these thorns, the field that was placed under the curse there in the Garden of Eden after the fall. It was meant to show that he had come to take away the curse. He was not crowned with beautiful garlands, but with thorns, a sign of the curse that has come upon the ground. Our Lord endured and took upon himself many things in order to go to the cross in his body of flesh and there obtain an eternal redemption for all who are to be redeemed, who accept the grace of God, salvation and the peace of God. But these people are so precious to the Lord, and he is precious to them. With them he will find admiration on that day when he will return to be glorified among all his saints. The completion of the glorification of God will take place among all his saints and not before. The Lord waits until that time, until that hour has struck, and then he will come again to reveal himself. And as it says here, I read it again so that no one misunderstands. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Have you paid attention to this phrase? He does not say, 3 or 4 years ago, when we preached to you, our testimony was believed among you. No, he says, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Paul was 100% sure and certain that the believers, as Brother Branham said in a sermon, were not saved from one revival to another, but eternally saved and born again unto a living hope. And that is how he expressed it here. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He only wanted to say, in that day, among all of you who have heard the testimony and have come to believe, who have proved yourselves in all sufferings and trials, who have endured to the end, you will be the fruit of the proclamation in that day. And beloved, we may say the same at this time, not for our sake, but as a precious fruit of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Some will come out of this generation who will be a testimony in that day, a result, the outcome of the proclamation of the Word of God from this time. For we do not just believe for a few days, we believe with all our heart until we come to see, until the Lord comes again to be glorified among his saints and to find admiration. What a day that will be. Imagine. Then we will all be young, transformed. We can feel no more pain, no more suffering, no more anything. Everything will be over, everything behind us. And in a glorified state, we may see our Lord. What will that be? If it were today, in this state, our joy would still be clouded. Is it true? It would be clouded. On that day, and I promise you this, on the basis of the Word of God, our joy will no longer be clouded. Everything will be over and left behind us forever. We'll be caught up to Him, and He will be glorified among all His saints on that day, and we with Him, and He will be admired among all who will be there on that day. Our prayer tonight should be, Faithful Lord, we are here. You have spoken to us. We have heard your word. We believe it with all our hearts. Help us to be part of the multitude among whom you will be glorified on that day. May God bless us all. Amen. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank you with your people, present and absent, for the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Lord, my Savior, you paid the price. You rose from the dead on the third day. You ascended to heaven with your own blood. You sat down on the mercy seat to intercede for us at the right hand of God's majesty. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you in this hour. Thank you that thou hast made thy wilderness a paradise and the waste places a garden. You love Zion and all its waste places, O God. Hallelujah. You are still on the throne, and you have the last word, and all enemies shall be made your footstool. Faithful Lord, we thank you for your blood-bought multitude. She will admire you on that day, marvel at you, O Lamb of God, glorious Savior, blessed be thy name. We praise you from eternity to eternity. You, the Lamb of God, you let yourself be slain. I thank you for it. We may live forever. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you not only for the baptism in the Spirit, but for the baptism with the Spirit and fire. May the divine fire in us consume everything, and then the anointing of your Spirit bring forth new life to the praise of your name. We thank you, for it is you who have called us, who have pardoned us and redeemed us. It is also you who baptizes with Spirit and fire. You only baptize with Spirit and fire, not otherwise. Hallelujah. O God, I ask this baptism for myself and for all of us. My God, as in the beginning, that cloven tongues as a fire appear, hallelujah, that a pillar of fire may come down among your people, my God and my Lord. Glorify yourself now among your people, and then also in the day when you come, hallelujah, among whom you can already glorify yourself now. They will be there when that glorification comes. Hallelujah. How faithful thou art. Lord, make us all free from ourselves, that we may come to you, speak with you. Hallelujah. Praise be to you forever and ever. Hallelujah.